What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 15 of The Overview. I'm Chan Andy, and of course, I got Fish Sticks and Shade here, as always. But we've got a special guest today. You guys that have been around esports probably know at least the guy on the left, but some folks know the guy on the right, too, but mostly the guy on the left. I want to welcome Take Dennis on the show, as well as Sebastian, his Overwatch guy, I guess, you know, Overwatch project manager at this point. But Take TV, that's kind of why I have it on there. But welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you very much. Nice to be on the show.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Ben, Lynn, you guys been playing a lot since the launch? This is launched.
Not enough.
It's finally launched.
I've been watching tournaments and casting like at least three times more than I've been playing, which is weird. But I feel absolutely compelled to catch up on every single tournament VOD, which are usually taking place while I'm at work. And then on Tuesday, I actually had the chance to cast the Jericho versus Gold Glove showdown as well. So I actually have only had about 3 hours, maybe 4 hours of game time, and the rest has been either watching or casting, which, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world.
That's what happens.
I do want to play. I can't play tonight either.
That's what happens when you're busy and you're working. I bet you, Lynn. You linked this video, but I can't see it yet. I haven't got a chance to see it yet.
The one in Skype chat?
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to see that one.
Oh, it's just a highlight from stream today. It's not a big deal. It's just funny.
I
found a place on Volskaya. You should never, ever push the Metro Teleporter, basically.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I've been playing a lot. It's been really fun. It's nice to have like really short queue times.
Yeah.
And lots of new people. I still see a lot of the same people, but lots of new names too that I don't recognize. So that's always really awesome.
All right, cool.
I'd like to see what Blizzard's numbers are like at the end of the week for how many people have actually just been playing just a ton. It'd be cool if they could release like who the highest level is, because I'm assuming there's probably somebody that's like 70 already that's just playing all day.
Well, that first day, JP and Lyric were playing literally like 24 hours. So I'm not sure you could get higher than that. I guess unless you won every single match and you're just like queuing up constantly. But yeah, there's probably like a level 50 person out there right now, I'm sure.
And it's Ask Joshy.
It's Ask Joshy. Exactly, right? Right. Dennis
plays way too much.
He plays way too much.
Yeah, he does.
There's no such thing as too much, man. Right?
That's true.
Yeah, so the game's launched, you know, of course. I don't know. Any comments on just like how everything went and the servers, I mean, outside of just being maybe like 15 minutes late, I guess, on that day? It's been great for me. I think I might have had just that kind of disconnect like one time out of like a lot of games I've played so far.
Anybody? Yeah, I feel like
I haven't disconnected at all.
Overall.
I don't think I've disconnected ever since
ever?
Launch.
Yeah, okay. Awesome. I mean, it could have been my internet that did it, right? So it wasn't necessarily even them.
I mean, I've definitely seen people disconnect, but I've never had the problem myself yet.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
All right, cool. Yeah, so it's pretty smooth. Like, probably one of the smoothest Blizzard releases ever. So, you know, definitely great job on that. And, you know, did you guys catch the Kimmel and Conan little skits? Were you able to
catch
that?
There was a Kimmel bit?
Yeah, there was a Kimmel bit last night. It was, like, really short, but it was...
It was pretty good, actually.
It was pretty funny.
Was?
Yeah.
I saw the Conan one.
Let me link it to you. Hold on.
Wait, there was a Kimmel one too?
Yeah, there's a Kimmel one too.
Yeah, I didn't know about that one either. I saw the Conan one. That was with the Game of Thrones
one,
right?
Amazing.
Yeah. That was the Game of Thrones one. Here's the Kimmel one. I'll link it to you guys. It's really short though, but it's pretty funny.
I don't have a lot of love for Kimmel after he has trash talked esports so many times.
Yes,
he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you've missed that? Oh my god, made big news on Reddit. Yeah. He's apologized for it, but you know, it's one of those Kimmel apologies.
In this video?
No, not in this video, but just he's taken it back, I guess, with some an episode after he did that whole thing. But yeah, so this is the Jimmy Kimmel one. Anyways, it's kinda cool to see it just on mainstream. You know, just the obviously these talk shows or these late night talk show hosts being pretty big. And, you know, covering Overwatch, that's a first. They don't ever cover games that I usually, like, you know, I'm crazy passionate about. So it's kind of cool to see Overwatch on there. Anyways, excited. We finally, this is like the day we've been waiting. You know, you don't have to, like, you know, just, like, go nuts about Overwatch going away at any point. We're going to have it forever now. So definitely good stuff. And especially from an esports standpoint. I mean, we can just, like, you know, go wild on events, and players can be, I don't know, just players can just be start building up as, you know, esports, just kind of like esports players in other games and things like that. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's nice it begins now. About it.
Yeah, it begins now, exactly. Okay, well, and why don't we, well, let's get some of, I guess, the non-esports thing stuff out of the way. I just wanted to touch base on digital shorts. I think the last one, there's been two since the last show, since we hadn't been on the last 2 weeks. So we've had, well, let me talk about Heroes first, and then we'll get to the Dragons. But Heroes, the latest one, did you guys get a chance to check it out? The one with Soldier 76?
Yeah, it's amazing. Pretty good.
Yeah? How do you rank it?
Yeah, I
mean, you like it a lot?
It's so difficult because all the Blizzard cinematics are crazy good, right?
Yeah.
So, it's difficult. I thought the Dragon one was a little bit cooler, so I don't know. I'd give it like a 7 out of 10 for Blizzard standards.
Yeah. Dragon was much cooler in my eyes. But yeah. Fishix, what do you think?
I mean, same thing. 76. There really wasn't any plot. It wasn't telling you more about the lore much at all. It was kind of giving 76 some personality, yeah, but it seemed kind of completely tangential to the actual story. So, meh. Yeah. I mean, it was good, obviously. It just wasn't as mind blowing as the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of gave you a read on just, I guess, what the current state of the world is, right? At least with, you know, with the humans and the Omnix and just, you know, what's going on, I guess, at least in Dorado. Shade, what do you think? I know you didn't love that one.
It was my least favorite one.
Yeah. I think it was a lot of people's least favorite one, actually.
But I think my reasoning for not liking it was a little bit different. And I've talked about it a little bit on stream, but basically it was like, there was so much hype about Sombra potentially being in it leading up, like, 2 to 3 weeks before the short came out, like, when they first started talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, everyone's kind of been talking about Sombra for, like, a couple months now. But it was like there was pictures being released on Reddit of like a potential shadowy figure on top of a roof in Dorado. And like we all knew that that's where the short was going to be. You know, it was going to be in Dorado. So I was kind of like, oh, man, this is so cool. Like we're finally going to get to see somebody we've never seen before. And like with all the hype of Sombra being the next support or the next character that's in the game. And like it was never really denied by Blizzard.
Right.
Like they never came out and were like, yeah, no, Sombra's not a part of this. I didn't really expect them to, but at the same time, it's like, you didn't deny it, and everyone got hyped, and now I'm like, well, this is just boring, because there was no, like, I didn't feel like character development happened with Soldier at all, like, I didn't learn anything about him in the short that I didn't already know, like...
Yeah. He's pretty much Batman in the short. I mean, that's pretty much the character he had. Yeah.
And I just didn't feel like... It didn't bring anything to the table that we didn't already know was going on. Like, we knew that there was a war between Omnix and humans, and we knew that there was, you know, like, we knew that Dorado was this place that kind of had these, you know, these gangs and kind of trying to ruin the town or run the town. So it wasn't really anything new. And compared to Heroes, like, it wasn't even that action-packed either. Like, for the one fight scene that existed in Dragons, like, Hero was... kind of boring in comparison.
I just can't believe that he's not getting hit by bullets when he's like, you know, falling backwards and shooting up at the at the ceiling, and there's literally like four guys with AKs shooting at him. So you gotta love that, man. But Heroes, I think Heroes just, they should have ended with Heroes. Like, well, why did they like mix it up, you know? Like, they would have gone almost to launch day with Heroes. That would have been pretty amazing, because I mean, the action sequence.
You mean Dragons?
Dragons, not Heroes. Yeah, Dragons, I meant. Yeah, if Dragon, and that action sequence with Dragons was just like easily the best thing I've seen so far in all of the shorts. Yeah, Sebastian, you seem to like it too, right? Like, what would you give that?
Yeah, for sure.
You gave a 7 out of 10 for the other one. What about this one?
Probably a 10 out of 10, I guess.
Okay.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, we all got to love that. I don't know, ancient Japan theme, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yep.
It's like sword versus bow, you know, two brothers, dragons. I mean, the design of the map is amazing. It's Hanamura, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's really good. And I love how they call it shorts as well when it's like 8 minutes at least. But it's a really good work.
I mean, it is short, right? I guess
it's too short, at least. My favorite part about Dragons was actually not even in the short. It was in the game. When they added like blood splatter and like different parts on the map where you can actually see things that happened, like in the short. So like if you're on Second Point Hanamura, there's like blood splatter on the like poster thing that's hanging from the wall behind the little chest.
Oh yeah. I didn't actually notice that when I was watching it. But it's cool, like the, even the mural, right? Like in the actual temple itself was explained, you know, because like, we always wondering like, what, okay, that's a cool mural, you know, that's, but at least it's, you know, better explained in this video. So it is cool. It's like all these little details kind of we're finding out more about. But yeah, okay. Anyways, I just wanted to spend a little time on the shorts. Comics, obviously, were out. We covered the first three, I believe. And then since then, I think Reinhardt, Symmetra, Farrah, and Torbjörn have come out. Have you guys been following or just keeping up with the comics?
So I just realized that I haven't seen the Torbjörn one yet. And yeah, that one came holy crap, the art is sick.
Yeah, it is.
The art is really, really nice in this. I'm super impressed, actually.
Yeah, let me show it real quick. Tay, have you been looking at any of the comics or anything?
Actually, I didn't. I just really realized it before the show, to be honest. And I was surprised, but I checked it just a little bit before the show and it looked amazing. I mean, I thought they're kind of short, but not really. I mean, they are, but it looks like, I mean, there's a lot of content already. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. And they are amazing from what I've seen.
Yeah, the art's sick.
Yeah, the art is... The Torbjörn is actually my favorite one so far. Pretty... Yeah, just amazing. They're using different artists. They've had a couple repeats, but for the most part, they're using different artists for each one. And I'm assuming different writers, too. I didn't actually look closely at that, but I think different writers also. And these are going to continue on. So, Shade, how about you? Yeah, I know you were talking to Symmetra. I know you were talking about the Symmetra one a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I mean... I didn't really pay that much attention to the Reinhardt one because I literally have not played Reinhardt ever. So it's not like a huge, like, oh my God, a Reinhardt comic. Oh, I got to read it. I'll probably read it eventually, but yeah, it just wasn't a huge deal for me. The Symmetra one actually bothered me a little bit because the art was so weird. That might be a personal like preference thing, but it felt like pieces of like cardboard paper cut out and put in a comic book.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of that flat style. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's super flat, like not really, I don't know. I wasn't really like, oh my God, I want to finish reading this. It was like, oh, I'm just going to look at the pictures and then close it.
Yeah, it's a styling.
Symmetra's story is so cool and like she's such a weird, crazy character. So I don't know. I was kind of turned off by the art. Fair one was awesome. I love the Fair one because I love Fair lore. She's super cool and badass. And Torbjörn, the art was incredible. Like Ben said, it was so good. Makes me want to go play Torbjörn now.
Wow. That's saying a lot, man. When the comics make
somebody
want
to go. Hey, I play a lot of Torbjörn, okay? He's
I do
like
too,
my fourth most played.
Yeah. Torbjörn, man.
Foreign plays of the game while falling off the map.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had it happen. I've totally had it happen. Kill four guys as I'm falling to my death. That's like the best, man.
We all have.
Exactly. But anyways, yeah, guys, check out the comics if you guys haven't already seen it or known about it. There's let's see, how many are there now? There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 of them right now. There's 6 of them right now. And then they're going to continue on with them. So, yeah, just expect more and more. It'll be interesting to see what happens once they get done with the 21 heroes, because I think they're just going to go one each. And then what happens after that? Do they... You know, obviously the same artist is going to continue on the same character, but
more heroes.
Yeah, well, more heroes too, but it can't be just one short per hero. It's got to go on a little bit more, right? So, gosh, I can't even imagine if they continue one per, that's going to be crazy. Just like constantly coming out with it. That'd be pretty sweet. But yeah, anyways, that's really, really cool. It's just the Overwatch, you know, world. It's pretty awesome that we have so much.
One comic and one short for every hero, please.
Oh, yeah. That would be pretty awesome. And continue it on forever.
I mean, can you imagine a Torbjörn short? That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny.
Can you just, like,
I'm
listen to his
to
voice for 8 minutes?
Time. Yeah.
Hard work pays off. Over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's see. All right, so anyways, let's talk about the game a little bit. So there was some mention, there was an interview that Blizzard did recently with Polygon that mentioned the first update that's going to be coming out in mid-late June is going to have competitive mode added back. You know, we talked about how we, I think for the most part, liked the fact that they didn't launch with competitive mode, because I don't think anybody liked it, at least here on the show. I don't know, Sebastian, what did you think of the competitive mode beforehand?
Yeah, same thing, yeah. I guess. Yeah, not really a fan.
Yeah, so pretty happy that it wasn't in there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the new competitive mode apparently has... It's supposed to have less sudden death, is what they've said, and then they're even contemplating on sudden death being the same map instead of, you know, going to a King of the Hill single capture point map. What do you guys think of that? Fish sticks.
I mean, I can only speculate what that even means.
Yeah, right?
If sudden death is still in there, then you got to imagine it's going to be something pretty similar to what we had before. Because the only reason you need sudden death is because you're not doing stopwatch, which is kind of what most of the competitive community prefers. So I really have no idea what this new mode could be. Mm-hmm. You know, Blizzard has said many times in interviews and talk shows and articles and all that, that their main goal is to make sure that these maps have 50-50 win-loss ratios as wide skill ranges as possible, and that they're even willing to do things like tweak the length of a map, the time that you have to complete a map at different skill levels and stuff like that. So to me, this sounds like they're going to do that, because they talked about it quite openly in the past couple of months. And if there is still some sort of, tiebreaker?
Sudden death.
Mm-hmm. Decider, sudden death, there you go. If there is still some sort of sudden death, then you got to imagine it's a similar rule set to what we had before. So, I mean, if I had to guess, that's what it's going to be, which I know a lot of people in the competitive scene won't exactly love, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah.
I wish they would just give stopwatch a chance. Like, I mean, maybe you don't like it, but just try it. Just try it for a little bit. It's not, I know they think it's probably hard to integrate into the game, but like, there's already kind of a like stopwatch in the game, at least for payload. Like, there's a timer counting down, and it feels like their main reason for not wanting stopwatch in the game is because they say, like, oh, we don't want the game to end prematurely before you get to play out the whole map.
Yeah.
But, like, that already happens a lot. Like, if you don't finish the map before the timer runs out and you don't get overtime, the game ends and you didn't finish the map. Like, that already happens. So, like, that element of stopwatch where if you don't finish before the time ends or before, like, the fastest time... Like, that's already there. It's just more a matter of, like, tweaking it a little bit so that it actually exists in real stopwatch form. So I wish they would just give it a chance. Like, instead of trying to come up with all these really weird random ways, like, one CP or one control point or control capture or whatever you want to call it, like, sudden death or whatever. It's just kind of like... Just try stopwatch. It's a lot easier than it sounds.
Yeah, Dennis, Sebastian, what do you guys think of just generally all these things are trying and what they should do?
I think I have to agree. I mean, stopwatch is kind of the way to go, at least in competitive play right now. I mean, we're going to be using that at our tournament. Stopwatch is the way, like the traditional stopwatch. Not just because that's what the pros want, but because it's the most fair thing right now. Plus, I don't think that it takes that much excitement from the game, really, for the viewer. Because, I mean, if time runs down and there's only 10 seconds left, that's pretty exciting to me. So,
yeah,
I think it's the way to go.
It's just about how you present it, right? Just the stopwatch running down. I mean, like, we talked about this in the past where, you know, if you had these, like, big numbers that are just, like, beeping, like, you know, counting down and stuff, I mean, you can make it feel even epic, you know, if it isn't already, right? So, they could
have a part of that, too. Like, they already have it in-game now where if you're getting close to overtime or you're getting close to the game just ending because you're running out of time, the actual music in the game changes. Mm-hmm. Like, sounds change, music changes. Like, that's already an element in the game that creates hype. And there's been plenty of times in tournaments where, Ben, you can correct me on this, but I think there was a game between Reunited and, is it Creation? Was that the game? There was, like, literally 10 seconds in between their times. And the casters
we've had
just,
as little as five.
Yeah, we've had it multiple times.
There was
recently.
Even lower ones. Mm-hmm. And like people were just freaking out and like counting down and being like, oh my God, they only have 5 minutes or 5 seconds left or 4 seconds, 3 seconds. And everyone's just crazy going insane. And like that's the hype that Blizzard's saying that they want. It exists within Stopwatch.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed. Okay, how about new characters? First update, right? They've already alluded to Sombra, and or at least the support, right, that has a sniping ability, which everybody, you know, thinks it's Sombra, as well as possibly another support or another tank. It's some kind of combo between that. This could come. You guys think it's coming out this update? I mean, is it pretty much confirmed? It's coming out this first update?
Is it?
I don't know.
Did I miss something?
I feel like it. I don't know. I've kind of like felt like it's gonna be like the first update that they come out with something new like that. Since, you know, we haven't had a new character since BlizzCon for the most part announced, right? So, I don't know. What do you guys think? How soon?
I mean, I have no idea. I certainly expected it would be many months until we saw a character added or a hero added. But really? If there's reason to believe it's coming sooner, then hell yeah. I'm hyped, man.
What do you guys think? I don't know. Dennis? Sebastian?
And you never really know, do you?
Yeah.
I mean, if they tease that's you with true. Something, then I don't know. It might come out like 2 years later.
Oh my gosh, man.
I mean, or never.
Maybe I'm just too optimistic, man. I'm thinking that's
coming out. We had Jeff on the show, and he, like, we literally asked him, like, you guys are testing internally. Like, what are you testing? Yeah, is it a support? And he was like, I can or cannot confirm. Like,
I mean,
I can't deny. It's like,
I mean, given just what Jeff said.
We know they're at least working on something, so.
Yeah. I mean, you never really know, right? I mean, look at Hearthstone, for example, with all the expansions. I remember, was it last BlizzCon with League of Explorers, for example, where it just came out like a couple weeks afterwards?
It wasn't even a couple, it was like 10 days after. It was like really
Yeah, it was like, that
after.
Was insanely close. So you never really know, because other expansions come out, I don't know, like 5 months afterwards or something, so.
Well, then you had this latest expansion that came out like 2 months after, because they let everybody kind of release the card or whatever. But yeah, but I know what you mean. To your point, they do something a little bit different all the time. I don't know. I just think it would be pretty hype if they released, you know, one or two characters now and they released another one in a couple of months after that.
I mean, sure.
That'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. Genji, Mei, and D.Va all at the same time, like literally in the same patch. I think the thing with releasing a new character now that Blizzard should probably take into consideration, which I'm sure they already have, is there is so much hype around the game right now. It's insane. Like,
yes,
it's at the top of Twitch all the time, and that is going to slowly go away. Maybe not completely, but it's going to drop a little bit if people don't feel like there's new exciting things happening. And like, content updates is one of those things, right? Like, introducing a new map or a new hero, and they introduced so many new maps like over the course of, I was like 2 or 3 weeks in closed beta the last like month.
I think that's,
it was like three new maps that got added in a very short period of time.
Yeah,
and they could have definitely saved those for release. That would have been probably better.
No, I think that's a good point.
I think it, like, adding new content over a short period of time after game release is probably a pretty important thing for them to do if they want to maintain any kind of hype that's going on right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because competitive mode is not going to really be that big a deal for casual players. So it's great for us, but in terms of casual, it's, you know, I think they'd like to see something new, you know, whether it is in terms of the map, but a character would be just amazing. So I'm crossing my fingers. That's all I'm saying. Hoping it's Sombra or
I feel you. I feel you.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go into esports. You know, it's kind of what we got Take and Sebastian here on for. They've obviously have an event. Not just that, guys. Sorry, just not just that. But you guys have your first Overwatch event, or at least big event, coming up. So definitely wanted to, you know, have you guys come on and talk about it. But let's just start off, like, first off, Dennis. What's your outlook on Overwatch? I mean, you've had, you know, obviously a lot of events and success, you know, just in the esports space with doing, you know, all of your, you know, home story and just all C story, all the events that you've done leading up to now. And what do you think about Overwatch compared to just all the other games that you've done?
I mean, beside Hearthstone and StarCraft, you also did Counter-Strike, three tournaments, bigger ones, which. Similar to the Home Story Cup or Seed Story Cup. That worked out kind of well, I would say. I mean, beside numbers, just the atmosphere and how we could cover the game and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. With Overwatch, I mean, we have a game which is a shooter. It's also very fast. I'm actually wondering and looking forward to seeing how we can actually have a good feeling for the viewer actually to present the game. since this will be, I guess,
it
will be not easy. And I think a lot of people like the game. It's a lot of fun, but watching the game needs to be, it has to be done kind of well, actually, to keep the people on the stream. I mean, in the beginning, everyone is hyped to just watch the game, whoever or whatever it looks like, with observer mode or without an observer mode. This is actually, it's on us, right? I mean, we want to host a tournament, so it's on us to actually make sure that it looks cool and people enjoy what they see. I mean, beside the typical take TV stuff we always have, bring cool stuff, interviews, bring the players on the couch and focus also on that, have a lot of entertainment, especially with our new location. We have more space and more opportunities. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And I mean, there are 6 players playing the game. It's not 5. I mean, we have a gaming room which is made for 5v5. And now we had to somehow fit in one more guy. It works out, let's see how nice it will be when the tournament's starting. But yeah, I mean, I'm hyped for the game. It looks very, very nice. As we mentioned in the beginning, there were no technical problems in the beginning. That's pretty sick, pretty cool. And as you said, that's well done by Blizzard, and I'm happy about that because this actually doesn't damage a hype in the beginning that might be, it could be painful actually. I'm also hoping that it everything will be smooth and fine from Friday to Sunday. That's even more important to me,
right?
I was happy that it worked out Tuesday, Wednesday, but to be honest, Friday, Sunday is more important. I think it's the game is just super awesome and people enjoy it a lot. Also watching this, I mean, we have a German caster playing a lot lately, and I actually like watching the game. I mean, I watch more than I played, and I personally enjoyed it, but I think even when I'm not a good Overwatch player, I think I'm more not a casual gamer also when it comes down to watching. I hope also for the mainstream it's more or less already hopefully kind of okay to watch it. So yeah, this is where I'm a little bit nervous and hope that it will be all fine.
Just don't spectate alting Winstons.
There's gonna be a lot of them too. So,
I think we're gonna learn a lot in this tournament. There will be a lot of experiences, and I think we might even change within the day. We might change some stuff, and even after the first day, we take all the feedback of the community and hopefully even make stuff better the next day. I think this is a cool thing to do. If people see that there's change in the tournament in a positive way, but on the other side, I mean, there might be some stuff which could be better in the beginning. This is quite a task, but I'm ready. We are ready to actually hopefully create a cool Overwatch tournament.
That sounds awesome, Ben.
I just want to interject really quickly, guys. If you're just tuning in now and you're not familiar with Take TV and the awesome events that they hold, that they've been holding since probably 2011, starting with StarCraft and Home Story Cup. These events are known for their casual, laid-back atmosphere. And really, the most interesting thing about how Take runs his events is really there's a huge emphasis on bringing out the personality of the players and the teams. So you'll see players commentating more often than not. You'll see them on the couch. There's cameras all around the location. It used to be in Take's old apartment. Now it's a bigger location. But you can see them playing poker. You can see them hanging out, grilling, barbecuing, drinking beer. And it's all about the personalities. So really, given that this is the first major European LAN for Overwatch, you're going to see the players for the first time in a way that you've really never seen them before. So I think it's going to be awesome. I'm going to be watching for that aspect for sure.
If you've ever talked to any like StarCraft 2 player or maybe even some of the Hearthstone players, they'll all tell you that Take's event is probably the most fun event that they attend every year. So
I wish still never so made it to away. One. We it sucks.
Me too. I was going to see a story last year.
I mean, perhaps someday we will be in the US. I mean, I don't want to spoil too much, but you never know, right?
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man.
Winky face.
Winky face. Exactly. Is there anything that you guys have? You guys have obviously watched, some of the events so far. Anything you guys are going to try, like from the standpoint of spectator or anything like that, that we haven't seen from any of the other events?
We'll see, I guess. I mean, for now, we don't have anything new planned just from the spectator point of view.
Yeah.
I mean, as Dennis already said, to us, it's, of course, about, you know, creating an atmosphere where players, you know, can have a good competitive game. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, it's about presenting it well to the viewer, right? So
yeah.
We're going to have to find a compromise somewhere there. Yeah, as far as the rules go, just because the first tournament, we're going to keep it a little safer.
Yeah, it's just, smart. It's definitely smart.
Yeah, just to like not mess up anything. But as Dennis said, I mean, we're known for crazy stuff. So, yeah, why not switch it up somewhere in there?
Yeah.
Maybe throw some fun games in.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys can reveal any of this, but with your production setup, I'm assuming you have a dedicated observer.
Don't have one set up right now, no. Because the casters, of course, as we said, we want them to be as casual as possible. So if they don't want to focus too much on the gameplay in certain aspects, we want them to have the control, right? So, of course, this is something that we can change. I mean, we have a lot of people here who just love the game from playing it a lot and actually practice some observing. So we can get in a dedicated observer at any time if we need to.
Were you guys given access to the LAN client, or are you going to be playing it on just the regular EU servers?
We're going to be playing it on the EU servers.
Yeah, getting access to the LAN servers would be pretty amazing. I think there's still probably like lock and key for those things, imagine. Why don't we talk about some of the teams that are going to be there? So it's going to be 8 teams, right?
Yeah.
Ben, you want to go through some of the teams?
Sure.
Yeah.
You've actually got a whole bunch of the best teams coming out of Europe mm-hmm. participating in this tournament. It's an 8-team bracket, so it's pretty narrow bracket. But I'm noticing now as I'm looking at it on screen that it's best of 5 from the first round, including
yes.
this bracket. That's correct. So 8 teams, but you're going to have
a ton
of matches to watch. Tons and tons of coverage. But talking about the teams, you've got Creation Esports, SG1, the Finnish team, Bongo Beach Boys, Gringos, aka they're actually now called Northern Gaming Blue or
yeah.
Red?
Yeah, Northern Gaming Blue.
Blue, there, the European Northern Gaming. They just got picked up like 2 days ago or 3 days ago. Experiment, I'm actually not too familiar with Experiment.
Largely Germans. You might know Ruster or Mendo. What's his name? Mendo.
Oh, Mendo's
yeah, Mendo.
On that team.
Mendo's
yeah, Mendo's on that team, so that's pretty sick.
Oh, okay, cool. Melty, of course, very strong French team. Graviton Surge, not too familiar with them either. Do you have any insight into that?
You might know Krive. I don't know what his name is, really. He used to be with some of the Rogue yes. players, I think. He built
yeah,
this team.
Yep, yep.
They're really new. They just had this interview with Gosu Gamers, but a lot of people see them as sort of like this outside pick, you know. They haven't really had a lot of matches, but I mean, I talked to Rogue and they have a lot of respect for them, so yeah, we'll see.
And then final team here is Rogue, formerly known as Mydong, and this team is absolutely the favorite, right, guys?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah,
I have to say, yeah,
no yeah. question. Number one seed. Did you see these?
Going.
Did you see these, or did you just kind of randomly put these? Did you seed the brackets, or did you randomly play?
Oh, yeah, we seeded them. I mean, okay, we looked at the Gosu Gamers rankings, of course, and we also talked to the players a little bit. So, yeah, we think this is, like, the fairest bracket we could come up with.
Okay.
You threw the name Reunited in there. Of course, we invited them, but they didn't want to come or couldn't due to reasons that I don't know about.
I think it's Too Easy is just about to finish his degree or something like that. Or maybe he just finished. I'm not sure. I think Too Easy is like just about to graduate university out there or something like that. But yeah, too bad Reunited's not there. But otherwise, it's a really solid lineup. Basically, every team is like mid to high tier at least. So that should be cool. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing some of the newer teams.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Yeah, man. So 3 days worth. Yeah, best of 5s, loser bracket. Good stuff, man.
And I guess we should talk about the commentators a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about who's casting.
There's some interesting,
yeah, our lineup's
interesting names there.
Interesting,
pretty cool. We thought interesting to say the least. We wanted to get some of the guys that have been doing a lot of Overwatch, right? Like Jason Kaplan and Mitch Leslie are pretty known, at least in the European parts.
Yeah.
So yeah, we want to get. I mean, you guys know them pretty well, I guess.
Yes, of course.
They're my favorite.
Jason's,
I love Jason and Mitch.
Jason's kind of been a part of the show a few times now, and Mitchy's kind of like his partner in crime these in casting at least for Overwatch, but then we have Nathanius, right? And Jorasar, who are obviously actually the Nathanis is very known in SC2 right now, and Jorasar's had, you know, just he kind of started in SC2 and then did some Heroes, I believe, and is Too Good casting too? Or is he not?
Yes.
Yes, he is casting. Okay.
Oh, he is.
Yes, yes.
Let's say he's here.
Let's just say he's here.
How does he really get?
Oh, man. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean,
personality-ing.
Let's just say we have a flip chart for him.
A flip chart. Okay, good, good.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. That should. Well, I don't think I'll be able to watch, unfortunately, because I'm also casting a LAN in North America this weekend. But. Wow, that's hype. I did not know Too Good was going to be there. And I'm assuming you guys are definitely going to have players on the couch and casters as well, too, right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's pretty much what we're known for, right? Yeah, to kind of get the personalities out there. I mean, Dennis and I talk about this a lot. I say, okay, you know, this is a very new scene, so it's actually very important to build characters and personalities.
Yeah, I completely
get them out
agree.
There to make this game or this scene valuable, right? I mean, look at Hearthstone in the beginning stages.
We really tried to push it from the very beginning. I felt like Heroes of the Storm had quite some trouble in the beginning with that, and I hope that with Overwatch from the very beginning we can push it and help a little bit. It helps us all, and I mean, since I really don't know the guys in person coming down to play the tournament, I'm hoping for some cool guys and bringing up some cool stories for the tournament. And push the tournament and push the characters and have a nice experience for all the viewers, right?
Yeah. I mean, some of them have already arrived today, and I've talked to some of them, and there's some pretty crazy dudes here. I mean, the meme potential is going to be insane.
The meme potential.
Oh, good God. So.
That is not lacking in Overwatch.
I'm a little nervous for you guys. Those European kids are crazy. Actually, we're no better, though, in North America. We've got our fair share of... That's personalities.
True. That's true. I mean, that's just the gamer in all of us. But yeah, Too Good on the couch with Tavik, man. I think I will definitely pay for the
and
to watch
Mendo.
Some and Mendo too. I'll definitely check that out for sure. I'm sure we'll be seeing some clips from that on Reddit in some form. Definitely cool. Definitely excited about that. It's cool. I mean, it's great that you're having Nathanias too, and just some of these, you know, just other guys that are trying to get into Overwatch. I mean, I know he's not the only one that, at least from StarCraft 2, that wants to.
I think, I remember correctly, Nathanias already tried himself out in Counter-Strike a little bit in the past. I'm not totally sure, but I have this in mind somehow.
I think he did. Yeah.
He never really tried it. Like, he didn't try hard, but I mean, he was like, yeah, I would be up. And he already, I mean, he played quite a bit and tried casting a little bit, but never really made it. But I think with Overwatch, he's here from the very beginning, which is, you know how it works. If you're there from the very beginning, I mean, he is a great caster. If he can cast a few tournaments and make sure that he's everywhere, people will definitely like him being on more tournaments. And I like this this guy.
You like this guy?
He always fun.
I like that guy too.
I like that guy too.
I got to hang out with both him and his girlfriend. Julie's twitch.tv/Julie's with three S's, and they both actually play a ton. And Nathanias, he told me he was casting your event, and he was really, really excited for it. So I think it's a good fit. I wish Nathanias all the success. He deserves it.
Yeah, definitely.
And he really is a hard. Whenever he likes a game and he has like, I mean, he's prepared for something and has passion, then he's committing like crazy, and I'm pretty sure if I watch him playing StarCraft, trying to make it in Grandmaster, he's giving everything. Like, there's all the emotions in it, and looking forward to seeing him doing this in Overwatch.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, definitely excited to see it. It's like, again, like your productions are always super entertaining and always a lot of fun. So having it come over to Overwatch is. I mean, it's just like every game I cover, like you do Heroes of the Storm, basically, right? So, StarCraft 2, Hearthstone, now Overwatch. This is great, man. It should be awesome. It's great that we have a big NA LAN and a big EU LAN kind of at the same time, because I think we're going to be seeing more of that just moving forward. And then, I guess, have folks come together. I don't know how we're going to do that, but eventually, you think it's just going to consolidate? You guys think that? Ben, I mean, you think it's going to consolidate ever, or you think it's just going to always be like... I mean, for most of the year, it's going to be NA tournaments and then EU tournaments, and then the big ones would be...
I mean, it all depends on Blizzard. If they come out with, like, a crazy structure we could see anything, right? It could be it could be the very community focused, like giving points to already existing tournaments and tournament organizers, or they could take it all in house. We have no idea at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, whatever. I mean, either way, I think there's going to be plenty of, I mean, there's going to be plenty of teams, you know, to fill, even if it does continue being NA and EU. Like we saw that open tournament, just the Ghosty Gamer one, right? That had 100 teams that signed up for it, but they only had 64. So the Alienware one, sorry. So there's plenty of demand for it, and it'll be good to see some big ones on each side. Yeah, because we can build that storyline, right? We can still build this awesome NA champion and an awesome EU champion and have them come together or something and battle it out. That's always a cool storyline.
Oh, wait.
Don't forget the Asian regions.
Oh, Asian region too. Sorry.
Because yesterday, Monty was streaming Overwatch, and apparently Overwatch is the third most played game in PC bongs right now. And it's right behind, was it Sudden something?
Oh,
we have a special guest, by the way.
I'm scared. Just joined us. Oh, my gosh. Of course.
He always ends up in our show.
One and only.
Welcome, James. Yes.
Hi, Jack. Hi, tickets.
How's your rum and coke?
How's your rum and coke?
It's nice. It's whiskey. I just woke up. So it's breakfast.
It's breakfast.
What you guys doing? You're casting this weekend, James.
Huh?
Maybe a little. You might be on the couch a little bit this weekend.
You got your dry
erase board?
Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah, we're kind of planning us because I figured, cool. You know, I'm not allowed to do pretty much any other game. You know, because I can't do Dota 2 anymore, so I'm basically retired. And Nefanius does StarCraft, which is basically a fucking retired game. So now we're both doing Overwatch. So it's like the retired cast, me and Nefanius. And since I've got a new tactic as well, because like, I've decided if I do events for free these days, I can't get fucking fired.
So, well, if you do get fired from doing it for free, then that's gonna be another like milestone. Man,
can't get fired.
You can't get fired.
The highlight of the event, I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to go now. See you later.
All right. See you, James. Later.
Good seeing you, buddy.
Cheers.
So, Dennis, make sure you have a dry erase board for that guy because he does very cool things with dry erase boards, as we've all seen.
What I had in mind when we talked about EU or US champion, I just realized, Asian. I mean, we have two tournaments on the same time. Why don't we do an online match between the two winners of the tournaments and cast them?
That sounds good to me.
I love it.
That sounds good to me.
You're a smart man.
It could be
a smart man, Dennis.
Joint, yeah, exactly. That's why Dennis is such a great.
With the US guys, Fish Six.
Yeah.
Okay, so you handle it. I mean, can you talk to Sebastian and make sure that we end up doing it and stream it on both sides?
Yes, you guys heard it here first, exclusively.
Exactly.
We're going to try to make this happen. You mean,
nice.
Dennis, do you mean like this weekend? Like,
yes.
On Sunday? Yeah.
Yes.
Let's make it happen.
But like, our tournament won't end until like.
Oh two, my God, three, it's on the fly. Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. Probably. Wait. 4 a.m. I mean, let's talk to the. I mean.
That could get close.
Yeah.
I mean, we could just do a show match on Saturday or something if that doesn't work out either. So like that.
No, it's not good enough.
It's not good enough.
We definitely gonna talk with the like let's say top three teams when the grid is the bracket is pretty far, and then we just make sure that all of them would be up in any case because I think people like Nathanius, I think they should be up too.
Whatever they're all going to be hanging out.
Let's be real.
Exactly.
It's a LAN event. They're not going to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
I mean,
don't worry about your side, man. Your side's easy.
I think we make it work. Like, if I'm good at anything, it's convincing people. So, yeah.
That's true.
We definitely going to make... Oh, people really want to push us out because the movie's starting soon.
All right. Well, yeah, these guys got to go. They're actually going to go watch Warcraft, the movie. They're like the lucky ones in EU that get to see it. Two weeks before we get to see it here, which I don't even understand.
Wow.
I don't understand at all. But so why don't we take like a really quick break? We got a lot more esports to talk about, just or at least a little bit more esports to talk about. So we'll finish out the show. But Dennis, Sebastian, awesome having you guys on as always, and look forward to seeing the event. Takeover, guys,
thanks
this weekend.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll try to watch as much as I can. I will catch the VODs after the weekend, though, no matter what. So good luck, guys. We'll hold it down in North America. You guys hold it down in Europe. And,
yeah. Good luck to you too, man.
We'll be in touch soon.
All right, guys.
See you guys.
See you guys.
All right, see ya. We're going to take a quick break, guys, and we'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. Sorry about that. We just had to reset the cams because those guys had to take off. But like I said, we got lots more esports to talk about. And
actually, so much more.
I know, so much more.
There's a ton to cover.
Exactly. But just to continue your point, Shade, you know, until, you know, Too Good just popped on in, you know, in Too Good fashion. Third in PC bongs right now in Asia is huge.
Right now, you said it's like League of Legends and then Sudden Attack. And then Overwatch.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Crazy.
Did you guys watch the Korean event a couple of days ago? It was before the game launched, and the Korean teams still have a ways to go. They don't look like they're on the same level as North America and Europe yet, but you know we have Widowmaker players like Taimu, Reaver, so on and so forth. I think I saw the best Widow player I've ever seen on one of those Korean teams. It was scary. It was frightening. So, yeah, Korea's coming. China is coming. The numbers are huge in both regions.
You have to keep in mind, like, their beta was a lot smaller than ours.
Yeah,
the amount of people that got given access to, like, Asian servers during closed beta was unbelievably small. So... like, this is just starting for them. This is a brand new thing for them. A lot of people have not got the chance to, like, play it, I'm sure, nearly as much as they want to. I mean, I'm sure if you look at the number of hours played by people in Asian regions in League of Legends, like, they put a ton of time into video games.
Well, no question.
A certain amount of time.
No question. And, you know, obviously League of Legends being the number one, there's a reason why so many, you know, Asian teams do so well, right? In LCS, as well as like Dota also. But the thing about just shooters though is that we've never actually seen, you know, Asian teams competing at super high levels with shooters, just because, you know, Counter-Strike's not that big over there, right? They have their own shooter that's actually quite big over there. So Overwatch being just what it is as an IP, I just feel like it's going to be part of culture there, you know, just this whole animated type
of
series.
It feels so much more like a MOBA versus something like Counter-Strike.
Not just that, just like the whole, you know, comics and movies and shorts, you know, like there's all kinds of character ability there, and there's even a Korean and a Chinese character too. I mean, I think Overwatch will be just a very big thing as a game, period, not even competitive, so that's going to lead to just a lot of competitive players being developed there, and we'll actually see, I think, some of the top teams come from Asia in the near future. Hopefully not too near, but I mean in the near future.
They're coming.
They're coming. God, you're like,
honestly, I think the head start that NA and EU have, combined with the fact that NA and EU are actually taking this game Korean serious. We've talked about this on like every single show for months now. But yeah, I mean, these teams, the top teams in each region, are playing 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. They're playing in that range. So
yeah, but
it's going to
take like months
beta,
and months of
like,
grinding.
Yeah, but it's going to be more efficient. Like there,
Koro was like 500 level or something like that in closed beta.
Yeah,
like. He played a crap ton of Overwatch.
It's like 12 hours a day, definitely.
Yeah.
And so to your comment about that, Ben, like them taking it Korean serious. I mean, I think the amount of time people are putting into Overwatch is probably Korean serious, but I think, you know, the Koreans and just the Asian teams, they have a little bit more structure to their practice, I think, more than some of the players that you know, that are probably just getting into Overwatch. At least some of them, not all of them. I think some people are actually having some very efficient practices, but that might be a difference, just because, you know, the whole team houses and all that stuff. I mean, we've talked about this like many times in StarCraft, just starting in StarCraft, and just the whole team house and how the practices are run there just seems to be a little bit more efficient than what we've seen in the past. We're starting to see it now with other games, but not yet with Overwatch. You know, like we're starting to see the players finally, you know, like seeing some houses, you know, come, you know, I think we saw like the team Envious, at least, you know, Pad, and you know, Nvidia's obviously has the C9 guys over there now, right? Just at least for for this week. But you know, until we start seeing guys actually in team houses playing together, like being in the same place all together, I think that the Koreans or just any of the Asians, I think, might have a little bit of an edge practice wise.
It's a legit threat.
Yeah,
I'm just hoping that the work ethic we've seen will carry through in NANEU. Anyway, we only have 35 more minutes, actually, and there's actually so much more to talk about.
All right. Why don't you lead us through this?
Sure. I created a new section here for new teams that have arrived on the scene. Literally, just in the last couple of days, some of them announced right before Overwatch came back. Some of them really just played for the very first time in this Alienware Melee Cup, monthly Melee, which we're going to talk about right after this. But there are a couple of notable ones that were on my radar. Apparently, there was a couple that weren't on my radar that are going to the Take TV land. So there's even more than what I wrote down here. But I think a lot of people will be happy to know that the remnants of Hubris are still playing. Yep. So there's a team called Nubris, or I guess I should say the remnants of the old Envious roster. I don't know, whatever you want to say. But basically, it's CoolMat69, Stoop, Minstrel, and Buds, who were all on the previous Envious roster, also playing with ID, the Quake player, who used to be playing on Team Liquid for a little while, and then Custa, who used to be playing with like Nicholas TK or TJKO or whatever that team. I forget what their name was.
Code 7.
He used to be on the Code 7 team. So this is actually looking to me like a really well-rounded roster. Obviously, you've got CoolMat and ID, who are really excellent DPS players. Buds as well, quite good. And then Minstrel and Custa, who kind of have their own niches as support. And Stoop, of course, who's running tank. So that team is already looking pretty damn good in the Alienware monthly Melee this week. Any thoughts, guys?
I mean, I think they already had decent. They already had some decent results, right? I mean, it just once they formed. So
I
think they're already looking good. Shade, you were gonna say something?
The roster. Yeah. I love that team. The roster seems really strong, and
it's just good because
yesterday they played really well. Mm-hmm. So
it's good for NA to have another team of this caliber. And there's a couple more that have been forming as well, which I'll talk about next. The next team, so Northern Gaming. Is this brand new esports organization which splashed onto the scene last week? And it's
started by.
I don't really know the exact situation, but this Twitch streamer Soda Poppin, I think he's like one of the founders or co-founders, or at least on the business team for this new esports organization. And surprisingly enough, the first teams that they pick up are all Overwatch. I think they picked up a WoW team as well. But they're not going after Counter-Strike. They're not going after Smash, Street Fighter, whatever. They're actually going after Overwatch first.
Yeah,
and they've picked up two teams in a week. So they've got both NG Red and NG Blue. NG Red is Chance's team. This team has been around since like early phases of the beta, but in various different iterations. But it's Chance, Mangachu, Naptime, Wolf, Exion, and Bread Expert. And actually, they played quite well as well yesterday. In the Alienware, or actually 2 days ago and yesterday in the Alienware Cup. Then we've got NG Blue, which is the former Gringos team. So they're going to be over at Take TV's tournament this weekend. So that's Shade, Zaf, MKL, Nutty B, Yure, and Lidano. A bunch of Swedes. I thought it was
Shades. Sure, it's not.
I might have got that wrong.
I think I would have been like, oh, Jade.
But anyway, it's a team entirely from Sweden. So good old Swedish boys.
Yeah.
Then I wanted to call out one more that may not be on everyone's radar right now. OW King. They got sponsored by a new website, OW King. I assume it's probably LOL King, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this is a team that is pretty cool in my book because they have a really strong background in the enemy territory and RTCW scenes. And I know a lot of these guys because they all played Dirty Bomb as well. So Micker, I don't actually know Quad, but Editonian, Oxy, I spelled that wrong, Olba, and Pixel Twitch were all super big Dirty Bomb players and previously Enemy Territory players as well. So this team also looking pretty good.
Okay.
And all four of these played, yes, in the cup, in the Alienware cup, so.
Which leads us to the Alienware monthly melee that happened, or that concluded yesterday. Definitely a great tournament. I mean, it's definitely kudos to everybody that was involved in running it. They tried out a new scoring system, which, why don't we just lead off with that, and then we'll talk about the results. What'd you think of the scoring system? Because they, for those of you that didn't watch, what they did is they had a point system that had, it wasn't stopwatch, but it did have to do with when you how much time you had left when you completed just a stage. And if you, it was something like if you completed with 8 minutes or more, you got 5 points. If it was 5 minutes or more, you got 3 points, I believe, or 2 points. And then it kind of went like that anyways. Like, so, and they would play X number of rounds. I think it was three rounds of
Yeah, it was best of threes until the finals, which was best of five.
Yeah, best of five at the end. And then, you know, they would just tally up the points at the end to see who would win. Definitely an interesting way of kind of doing some kind of hybrid between, you know, hybrid and just a scoring system. What'd you guys think?
It literally made everything that Blizzard said worse. Like, Blizzard said, we don't want to run stopwatch because it's too confusing for the average spectator.
Yeah. Well, it's okay, I know what you mean. Okay, sure.
Okay. Like, okay, let's, this is basically, I kind of hope there was, like, a secret plan in, I think it was ZPs that made this kind of, like, scoring or whatever system. Like, I seriously hope that his, like, secret plan to this was, let's make something beyond confusing for spectators.
Gosh,
and then Blizzard will see how easy stopwatch is to understand.
Well, okay,
you're not
so
far off, Shade. You're not far off.
Like, well, if we want to talk about how hard it is to spectate Overwatch, like, hello? That was the most confusing thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Let's give gold medals and silver medals and blah, blah, okay, blah. Like, yeah. No.
All right, Ben, what'd you think? I mean, would you think it was as confusing as Shade?
That aside, I will commend them for trying new things.
Yeah.
Everyone just used stopwatch in the closed beta, and now everyone's like, why didn't we try some other things? I mean, we didn't try exactly anything else because everyone kind of thought stopwatch was going to be it. But people are kind of kicking themselves. At least some of the players are like, man, we should have been trying other things. So honestly, I will commend ZP for trying something new, because Blizzard hasn't figured it out yet. So we should just keep doing stuff until we figure out what's best. Even if that ends up being stopwatch, at least now we know that this rule set is confusing. So,
well,
I do think that was a lot of CP's intention with choosing it, was just like, let's try something new and just see how it goes. And if it doesn't go that well, that's more ammo for stopwatch.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm kind of in between you guys. I actually think that it was a little bit confusing, just as you were watching. Like, if you literally tuned in halfway, you're just kind of like, what are those 2 points? Like, does that mean that the series is 2-0? Or, I mean, what's going on here? You know, the kind of thing.
It made no sense.
Yeah, well, like, I think that was partially to do with, you know, the production. The production should have, like, been constantly showing, explaining the, you know,
in between games, there should have been an infographic showing
totally
what the scoring system was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it required that for you to pull it off. The scoring system itself, I don't think was that bad, honestly. Like, I think it was an interesting attempt at trying to come up with something that has, you know, time related. It's not, again, it's not as granular, you know, from a fairness standpoint as stopwatch, but it was an interesting attempt at it. And like Ben said, I definitely, you know, kudos for them trying new stuff. And I think people should continue to do it because who knows? There's still very possible. It's very, very possible that there's still a scoring system out there that is better than stopwatch. We just haven't found it yet. And I think doing more and more of these, there might be some hybrids of even those ideas that people end up figuring out. But the production has to execute it right. Like, you have to execute these ideas right, because I don't even think we walked away from that event knowing if that scoring system was very, you know, just great for viewers in the, you know, the best case or the best way presented. So, you know, just,
I don't think we'll be seeing it again.
Well, I don't think we'll be seeing it again, yeah, just because of the feedback.
I mean,
it,
I know for
I don't think
a fact
we got it.
That, like,
go ahead.
My team does not want to participate in another tournament that okay includes that scoring system.
Okay.
I mean, the better team is still going to win. It's not that bad.
No. I'm not saying that had anything to do with it at all, actually. It's not what I meant at all. It's just the actual scoring system was not enjoyed by players.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
So they don't want to have to deal with that ever again. But yeah, no, I didn't mean anything to do with like winning or losing, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to say that, but
all right.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Let's talk about results. Yeah, let's talk about results. Some great matches. Well, why don't you leave?
Yeah, maybe we can even just pop open those brackets.
Yeah, sure.
On stream for the bracket. But number one thing about this tournament was 64 teams. They capped it at 64. It would have kept growing and growing and growing if they didn't cap it. It actually filled up 64 teams in, if I remember correctly, it was about 3 or 4 hours. That's all it took for 64 teams to sign up for this thing, which is incredibly impressive. And we're actually going to get to this a little bit later, but we're seeing an even bigger bracket come up tomorrow. But that's really awesome. And this was the most stacked tournament we've seen so far in Overwatch.
Yep.
There was only really one extremely notable missing team, and that was Rogue.
Yeah.
We didn't have Rogue in this tournament, but basically every other team that has proven themselves to be a top-tier competitor was playing here, which is really, really cool. We really got to, for basically the first time, we got to see the brand-new Envious roster really, really succeed. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I've gotten a little ahead of myself. Just talking about the results, Cloud9 clinched another victory, solidifying themselves as the number one team in the scene. You can't really argue it right now. I mean, you could say like Rogue or Envy is just an inch behind them right now, or maybe they're on the same level, but they haven't been able to prove it yet. Cloud9 just keeps on winning. So right now, they've really clinched their position as the team to beat in the scene. Mm-hmm. In number two, we saw Envious. So this team played extremely well. They played so incredibly well. And I'm so kind of relieved to see this because, you know, they're making such a huge commitment. They're moving out to North America. Like a bunch of Euros are in North America right now, just making a huge gamble. So I was really glad to see them play ridiculously well. But also was a little bit surprised. I can't believe that they beat Reunited. You know, Reunited and Cloud9 have had some really close games, but Envy almost defeated them. They kind of manhandled Reunited actually in the end, and you could say that that's because it was 7 or 8 in the morning, something like that, by the time they were playing. Yeah. But both teams should have had a decent disadvantage there with that. And then LG takes fourth place, played very well. I got a chance to watch LG versus SG1. I didn't get to watch like everything, but like LG just completely smashed like a mid-tier European team, which was cool to see. Mm-hmm. And then in fifth and sixth, we had Galeforce, which is a pretty new team, and then Creation. So yeah, those were like the top six. I don't know. Do you guys get a chance to watch? And what do you think of the tournament overall?
Well, for me, I definitely watched I watched part of the quarters and then all the semis and finals. Overall, I mean, I thought the just the overall quality, just of the play, was actually quite good. I mean, I thought the meta seemed pretty stabilized for all teams. A lot of people playing similar comps for the most part on a lot of the maps. But overall, I mean, yeah, I mean, I kind of felt like this is what Overwatch is going to start feeling like. Like, you know, I mean, like a lot of the spectator was on Widows or just, you know, a lot of the sniping and that kind of thing. And it kind of felt like CSGO a little bit when I was watching it at times. And I don't know. Overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty hype. I mean, I thought overall, just the best teams made it through, you know. And like, we kind of saw the natural ranking happen actually with all the teams, for the most part, in the top four at least. But yeah, that's my take. I don't know, Shade. What'd you think?
I thought it was. I mean, it was really hype to watch for sure because it was nice to see all of these new teams popping up and new players and new names that you didn't recognize, and then kind of the old faithfuls coming through in the end. I think that was kind of expected. The game hasn't been out for like a week yet, so you know, I think once more players get practice time and learn the game and kind of the competitive aspects of it, I think we'll start to see some of those new teams and new players show up a little bit more, like closer to the end of the bracket. But yeah, I think kind of overall it ended or went the way that was kind of expected once you saw the bracket. So.
Yeah. And given, you know, honestly, even from a spec standpoint, given all the, you know, just Winstons being played and everything, it wasn't so bad, actually. You know, I thought spectating, you know, obviously still needs some work, but, you know, I think overall it's getting a little bit better, just even from the standpoint of a single spectator.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of meta, you know, we did still see a lot of double Winston, but it seems like, I don't know, people are like, man, so much Widow too.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Widow has just been more and more and more and more played over the last series of tournaments, and we saw just almost on attack and defense, almost on every map, players were picking Widow, which was pretty interesting to see as well. McCree continues to be the number one pick. A lot of teams running double McCree as well. But yeah, I mean, the games were incredibly fun and exciting to watch. I especially loved the grand finals.
Yeah, great play there.
You know, Overwatch at all kinds of levels can be pretty entertaining. The synergy of the different heroes, the ultimates. You know, big alts can always be really fun, but oh my god, I was like literally losing my shit just sitting here at this desk last night, just with my eyes glued to the screen, watching some of those Sure 4 players. Oh my god, his Genji is just unreal. And you know, accusations don't even come into the picture.
I know,
because it wasn't his aim that was so sick; it was his movement. When he used his reflect, that was the sick part. And the sword, it wasn't hit scan aim. So I mean, hit scan or hacks or not, the amazing stuff we saw last night had nothing to do with like hit scan aim. So.
That was great. Just incredible. I mean, the finals, like you said, I mean, it was like, you know, the Temu Reaver kind of matchup was great. Adam was playing great on Mercy 2. It was a lot of good play in the finals, actually.
Probably one of the most entertaining sets I've watched so far in Overwatch.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it's still pretty. I
kind of liked the one hero limit on only Koth, because I think the double Winston meta is only really, really relevant in Koth situations. I mean, we don't usually see double Winston anymore on payload. Like, we saw it a lot when the Winston bubble was super strong and when the Symmetra was happening and kind of all that stuff. But I don't think I really see double Winston on anything except for Koth. So seeing that one hero limit on only Koth was really nice. Yeah. And no capture point.
We saw
That was also nice. No capture point maps available. I think there was double Winston. No,
we saw it on
C9
Hollywood,
definitely still likes to use it on Gibraltar and Hollywood too, especially Hollywood. In that second
phase. C9 likes double Winston just in general.
Yeah, they play it all the time. Yeah. So I mean, they usually switch. They'll play like first, you know, just like first capture point. If it's a capture point payload, they'll play it for like half the game and then they'll switch up, you know, type of thing. But they play it all the time, payload or not. Yeah.
I think some things that kind of stood out to me. Nubris did take a win over Team Liquid. And frankly, Team Liquid continues to just swap up their roster. Every couple weeks, they have one or two new people playing for them. So it doesn't seem like they've been able to really hit their groove at all yet. But obviously, Nubris is strong. I don't want to take anything away from them. Another thing that occurs to me is Creation Esports seems to be kind of on a little bit of a downswing. You know, they lost to LG again here and went out a little bit earlier than, frankly, I would have expected if you went back 2-3 months ago. Mm-hmm. They really were they were the number two team in Europe for a while. And now it's very questionable. It definitely seems like Rogue has dethroned them. Rogue and Reunited as like number one and two. Envious now. I don't know. Are they North American? Are they European? Five other players are European, so I'm still calling them European. So now they're probably like fourth at best in Europe. And now the talk of Mendo's new team. So yeah, Creation. I love those guys. I know a lot of them from Dirty Bomb, but they haven't been doing as well as I would have expected. Yeah. I guess at this point.
Okay. Why don't we move on? We still got like a couple events to talk about, especially the one that you're going to be casting at, and obviously LG competing at too. Actually, LG's not at that one. Okay, so why don't we talk? Are we talking about ESL next? Let's see. You know, the tournament here. Did you want to talk about the ESL event or no?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to mention.
Sure.
I decided to put together a Google Doc with all the tournaments going on.
Let me show it.
By the way, show that. Okay. That's public. So totally cool to show that. Collaborating with a couple of the guys on the competitive Overwatch subreddit. We're putting this thing together. And I just wanted to show this to you guys, just to show the sheer volume of tournaments that's happening
nuts.
In the first week.
This is literally
it's kind
nuts.
Of nuts. I mean, most of these are no prize pool. Most, obviously, all of these except for a handful are online. But it's actually still crazy. And specifically, I want to point your guys' attention to the ESL Launch Cup in Europe, which is taking place tomorrow, because there are over 200 teams signed up for this tournament already.
Gosh. Wow.
Holy shit.
And they're, I mean, this isn't like a cap, right? Like all the teams get to play, correct? Or is there like 128 cap or?
I don't think they're cap. Like, I think capped it by now.
That's crazy. You know how long that event's going to be? That is nuts. Is it best of one?
Is it just the best of one?
I mean, that is going to be a lot of rounds. But anyways, it's awesome to see all these events. At the same time, this is like what I was saying even back in the beta, you know, just with Gosu and, you know, your events kind of happening on the same week. Oversaturation, like, worries me. Like, I saw it happen I saw it happen in StarCraft, too. I saw it happen in Hearthstone. And it just worries me that it's just too much. Like, we actually need big tournaments to emerge. You know what I mean? There needs to be tiers of events kind of that happen and people kind of, you know, fall into those places, you know, and right now it's not. And right now it's just like a land grab type of feeling, and everybody is trying to make their own events, and the possible effects of that is just, you know, we just start not caring anymore because we see the same teams over and over again, and you know, we saw that in the beta to some degree, and this is just not. I mean, it's never gonna get any better from this point. You know, like there's just gonna be more and more events, or at least people trying to host events as long as they get results, right? So I don't know.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But yes, I mean, we've seen oversaturation become somewhat of an issue in StarCraft and Dota. Those are like the two communities where it really impacted tournament organizers, the players, the teams, everybody, the sponsors. And then now I feel like it's happening in Counter-Strike as well. So it's a legitimate concern, but not something we have to really worry about for a while.
Really? I think it can be a problem like really quickly. I don't know. Shade, what do you think?
Maybe.
I mean, obviously, you're managing a team, so.
I mean, the biggest problem right now is you don't want to ever see there be too much tournaments and not enough just actual practice for teams. Like, playing in tournaments is great, but it's not the same thing as being able to scrim. It's like good practice, but there's a difference between like scrimming and playing like the same map like five games in a row and being able to work on strats and kind of all of that, and then being having to play in a tournament every single day, or like a tournament that lasts 2 days of the week or 3 days of the week. Like, it takes a toll. It's a problem.
Yeah.
So, obviously it doesn't force people to play in the tournaments, but at the same time, like, if a couple teams are playing, then those are no longer eligible for scrim partners. So it's like, if you do want to play those teams, then you kind of have to play them in tournaments. So,
okay.
I don't know. I think you just need to be careful with the amount of tournaments that we have that are at least online. Like, LAN events are a bit different, obviously, but.
Okay. Yeah. Well. All right. Again, something we gotta look
Shade
at.
Shade needs to bounce out of here in just a second. I want to wrap one thing up really quickly for you guys. We have an exclusive bit of info for you: the brackets and the signups for the Agents Rising tournament, which I'll be casting this weekend, have been released. So I'm going to post those for you in chat. It's a group stage tournament, so unfortunately, there's no real good way to look at all the groups at once with Battlefy. If anyone from Battlefy is listening. We need a way to look at all the groups at once, please. But you can at least look at the teams. Obviously, they announced that the top four four invited teams. So that's Cloud9, that's Galeforce Esports, Clutch, and Team Liquid. All four fairly strong, although I'm not sure anyone's going to be able to compete with Cloud9 out of this list. Yeah. But beyond that, I've had access to these brackets for a little while. There's a couple other teams that I definitely want to point your guys' attention to. Most notably, we've got Still Here, which is a team comprised of literal legends from Quake. 04, Rafa.
Yes,
just those two.
The biggest.
They were literally
names.
Gods of Quake, yes. In their own eras. Clock, Elemental, Metaphor, Learjets. These guys play a ton. When I actually queue and just play solo queue or play with groups, I actually end up playing against these guys all the time. They've been playing a ton. So I'm not sure how well they're going to be able to do against the invited teams, but I'm just excited to see them. I think that's going to be really, really cool. And you can go and just click through some of these teams, take a look at some of the rosters. Another one that's to look out for is Vigilante Season. I don't recognize a whole bunch of these players, but Banny is on the team, and he's kind of one of the more legendary TF2 players throughout any era of TF2.
That was honestly shocking.
Yeah, Banny's playing.
Banny, like, Banny, oh yeah, exactly. I'm going to go to an event. And
that's cool, man. Oh, that's really cool.
I'm just running through these to see if I can find any other teams that you should look out for in particular. Winky Face is a cool one. It's got Dyrus. Literally.
No, oh, really? Dyrus. Oh, my God. That's funny.
Dyrus is entering in a team and playing. And you guys can check this out with the link I posted in chat.
Is it the actual Winky Face. Dyrus? Because there's two Dyruses.
It is.
It's the actual
so,
Dyrus.
Okay. So I've been told it's the actual Dyrus. I guess I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Because there's an imposter Dyrus that says that he's Dyrus, but he's not actually Dyrus. And then there's the real Dyrus.
Is the imposter Dyrus really good, too? He's super good, too?
I don't know.
No. Okay. All right. I like
that's
the Connor.
Pretty much
I like the Connor Gregor team. Okay, well, definitely check that out, guys. And this is the, you know, the North American big LAN that's going to be happening this weekend. And Ben's going to be casting at it, as well as I think it's Joshy. Who are the rest of
we've
them?
We've got we've got Jamerson,
that's right.
And one of the guys that actually works for the Esports Arena, where mm-hmm. the event is going to be taking T-Squared. Place. Yeah. We've got T-Squared, yes. who's a legendary Halo pro in his own right.
Yes.
And then we've actually got a last-minute addition to the casting lineup. We're going to have Huck.
Oh, all right, cool.
Huck is going to join
Huck's
us.
Huck's going to be casting. All right, good deal. StarCraft. The StarCraft, obviously a very, very notable StarCraft player for... EG or, you know, and TL in the past, if those that never followed StarCraft 2. Really, really cool. We're starting to see more of these guys from StarCraft 2 coming over, trying to do some Overwatch stuff. So definitely great to see that.
It's been literally the most adorable thing I have ever seen in my entire life, watching Tom try and learn Overwatch. Like,
Tom?
Has he been streaming
T-squared.
Or something?
Yeah, oh, T-Squared. T-squared. Yeah.
He messaged me the other day on Skype and he was like, I was trying to play with a controller, but you will never be good at Overwatch if you play with a controller.
Yeah.
He's like, I've come to this realization. There's way too much movement in this game. You cannot play with a controller.
Oh, man. I can't even imagine playing with a controller. That'd be a terrible
It's
experience.
Got plenty of auto-aim, so it's actually not that bad.
Yeah, I heard Tracer for sure.
Well, the auto-aim is on the Xbox, though. It's not on... He was trying to play with a controller on his PC.
Oh!
Wow!
Don't do that.
Okay, that's terrible.
Do not.
That's really bad.
Oh, yeah. One last team that I just stumbled across: Gamer Sensei. It's actually got LG's Esper on it, so mm-hmm. Esper playing for
Esper
a pickup team. It's actually got a bunch of streamers as well. It's got Raffle Gator and Pokalols, as well as some other names that I recognize: Meet Me, Pipe, B Dropped. So yeah, that team should actually be pretty good.
We were unable to make it to the event, so Esper asked if he could play with the pickup team, and we were like, of course.
Cool. Sounds
good. Go play. Have fun.
All right. Well, let's wrap up. It's been a good show. I mean, it's been 2 weeks since we've had a show, so it's great to be back. We'll be continuing every week with you guys, of course, continuing to talk about, obviously, the competitive space. We always focus on that here on The Overview. And why don't we do some shout-outs before we go? Shade, you want to start?
Yeah. Hi, stream. Love you guys. Shade_ on Twitch is my stream. I stream every day and super fun. And Shade @ShadeOW is my Twitter. And thank you, Fishstix and Chanman. I love doing this with you guys every week. It's like one of the highlights of my week. Super fun. I love talking about everything Overwatch with you guys. So, yeah.
Awesome.
That's pretty much it for me.
All right, Fishstix, how about you?
Tons of stuff to watch this weekend. Catch up on the Alienware VODs if you haven't seen them already. Yes. Like, the Grand Finals was so sick. So definitely watch the Grand Finals if you watch anything there. But yeah, both the Take TV LAN in Europe for $5,000. Watch that at TakeTV_Overwatch. Twitch.tv/TakeTV_Overwatch. And then also the Agents Rising LAN, sponsored by Dolby. I'm going to be casting this weekend alongside some other of my friends and colleagues in the esports space. And it's for $10,000. It's going to be pretty sick. The first week that the game's out, we have two LANs and like a 200-person tournament, a 64-person tournament. Yeah, it's just going crazy.
Potential show match between the top teams.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
Get a convergence of the weekend where, you know,
that would be awesome. So watch those. And on a final note, I just want to say, you definitely go watch the interview with the Cloud9 team after the Grand Finals last night as well. There are some very...
What?
Hello?
Oh, there's some very interesting details. Or there's a very interesting part, at least with Shreepor there.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
You froze there for a second.
He's breaking up with us.
Oh.
So there's
I guess
a
my
very,
internet is dying.
Yeah, there's a very interesting part in the interview. I guess you were saying.
The whole thing's interesting. Honestly, they talk about their opinions on Stopwatch. They talk about the rest of the teams in the scene, and they also directly address the Shreepor hackusation thing, which I really hope that people watch this and see this, because Reddit has basically assumed that Shreepor is definitely a cheater, and every single post about him, or every single time he's brought up, everyone just calls him a cheater, and constantly in Twitch chat during the tournament, people are calling him a cheater, and that's not cool, guys. Go watch this interview, listen to what he has to say. And we'll see him this weekend at LAN.
If we see him at LAN, if they win at a LAN, guys, can we just like be done with this? Because this is
at least until there's
stupid.
Actual proof. Because none of the things so far have been proof.
Well, if they're at a LAN and he's still playing the same way he's playing, and people are sitting there looking at his equipment and everything, then I mean, come on, LANs are always where this gets like this gets proven or disproven or whatever. You know, if people go to LANs and they prove themselves, then subject should be over. So,
and everyone that's getting ready to type, oh, but you can still cheat on LAN. By the way, the esports arena guys have let me know that they will have folks behind each team watching closely. So, even if there is cheating, they're going to do their best to spot it out. So.
Okay, and I'll close things with thanking you guys. Of course, Shade and Fishstix doing this with me. It's always great talking about Overwatch, and especially competitive Overwatch, because we just love it so much. And for those of you that have been tuning in today, thanks for tuning in and just joining us. Just those of you that followed it since the beginning, thanks for following us every week. We have an audio podcast, too, that you can check out on iTunes and Google Podcast. Google Podcast. You can find that here. Make sure that with your friends too. If you like it, please leave a 5-star review there. It really, really helps out other people who are interested in Overwatch finding the podcast too. And we'll be back on the regular day. So, next week, just Tuesday, 4 PM. This week was special because launch day was on Tuesday and we kind of wanted to play Overwatch on launch day. So that's kind of why it got delayed a little bit. A lot of stuff going on launch day. So back to the normal schedule next week. And until then, we'll see you next week. So for Shade and Fishstix, Chanman V, we out. Later.
Bye.